Up from the last time I was up here 2 weeks ago, I kind of threw Trevor Black under the bus. When I say he golfs like I do and gets frustrated, I meant that as a compliment because I consider myself a above average golfer on bad courses. But Trevor finished, he was second team all K-Mac, and he was part of the K-Mac champion team, so I did not mean to slight that, that came out this week, and I saw that, and I thought, man, I better address that, but Trevor, I meant that as a compliment, because I think I'm pretty good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we thank you for everything you've done for us so far today, and we thank you for just everything you continue to do for us. And as we head into a time of Thanksgiving and we head into the holiday season where we remember the birth of your son, Lord, we want to be in all of you 365, Lord. We want to understand that relationship every day of our lives. Lord, just give us, give me the words that you want me to speak, Lord, and give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So, you know, we're in November. We're into what should be Thanksgiving. And if you look at the title of the message, you're going to think, what in the world is this whack job doing? Because I think the title is Suffering, God's Tool for Growth. And yes, this was a message prepared early that God laid on me on Monday. I'm off on Mondays, and he laid some passages on my heart, and I was like, why are we going there? And I turned it into Julie on Tuesday, but I still thought, well, God will work on it here. He'll give me something, what he really wants, because this might be a Matt thing. But he kept taking me back to, throughout this whole week, that I need to lean on him all the time. I need to see his goodness all the time. So that's kind of where we're at. That's where we're going. And then it was reaffirmed today during Sunday school. I had the three queen grandsons and Olivia. And we talked about a variety of things. We talked about a lot about school lunches. We could solve the world's problem if they'd listen to these four people. We could solve the school's lunch problem. Olivia has great ideas. And I said, well, guys, if you don't like the lunches, do you pack? Olivia hit it on the head. She says, we don't have time for that. Fair enough. But I got a lot of enjoyment out of our conversation this morning, and that'll probably come up some more today. But we're going to start with Philippians today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And this is a letter Paul wrote to the churches in Philippi. He goes through some stuff in here, but I want to be in chapter 3, and I want to talk about just the title of the chapter 3 is Righteousness Through Faith in Christ. And he starts the chapter just like he always does. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. So he greets them, he greets the church with the way he always does in every chapter you look at it. It's pretty neat. But it says, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. I'm going to skip over a lot of that. I'm going to go to chapter or verse 7. And it says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, again, that is a lot. Paul was pretty advanced in what he understood. Paul was pretty advanced at this point in where he was in his faith. It's kind of funny because Paul's actually saying, hey, I want those sufferings. I want to be in those same sufferings that Jesus had. I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know. But, you know, when I go through my work week, there are days when I'm like, oh, man, this is just a lot of suffering, Lord. A lot of suffering. You know, usually it's at 4 o'clock in the morning when my alarm goes off, 3:45 actually. That's Chris's suffering because 3:45 it goes off, 4 o'clock I usually get out of bed. There was twice this week she had to elbow me in the back and say, your alarm is going off, and it'd been going off for like 10 minutes. Didn't hear it. Didn't hear it. But yet Chris says she didn't sleep well. But if it went off for 10 minutes and she didn't hear it, she was sleeping pretty good. But Paul says, whatever I had, I'm throwing it away and I'm calling it rubbish so that I can go through the struggles the Lord wants me to go through and I can beat death like Jesus did. Struggles are here for us to grow. Struggles are here, and you know, and we're in Thanksgiving, and we're, man, we have a lot to be thankful for. And you know, we're not talking about suffering because we want to hate suffering. We need to learn to be thankful for our suffering. Why? Because it puts us in a better place. When we can understand why our suffering is happening and what is doing and what it is doing to us. Suffering stinks. We don't like it. But Jesus, God teaches us through our sufferings. And I'm going to use the example later. I'll just use it now. I want you to think of your life as there's mountaintops and there's valleys. Okay? Those valleys are when we're going through the suffering. Okay? When we're on the highest mountaintop, what do we see? I don't know. When you're on a mountain, I've never climbed a mountain, but when you're on the top of a mountain, do you see grass? Mm-mm. Right? They're snow-capped, they're rocky, they're whatever. When you're in the valley, what do you see? Do you ever wonder why the grass is the greenest in the lowest of low valleys? Think about that. It's so we can lean on God in the valleys of our lives and understand that He's going to provide. Because when we're in that valley, He's providing that grass. He's providing that rain that we need. He's providing everything that we need. We need to lean on Him to be able to climb and get to the mountaintop. And I never really thought about that way, but you know, when I'm having a great week, sometimes God gets pushed aside. When everything's going my way, I think it's my way. It's not my way. But when I'm in a struggle, I lean on Him. Why is that? Why do you think we do that? When things are going good, we say, oh man, life is good. But when things are going bad, the first thing we do is say, God, why are you doing this to me? Instead of saying, God, why are you doing this to me? We need to say, God, how are you going to draw me closer during this valley? You know, and I don't, I'm sure Jackson has experienced some valleys so far. And I think it'll be neat to talk to him, because it was neat to talk to Lindsay when she got back. But just the amount of Christ they feel when they're going through that valley. Because Lindsay said, man, she said, I could feel people praying for me. Guys, that's what it's about. When we're going through our sufferings, and you know, Stan going through his sufferings, man, I need to be better. Because I'm in Mount Gilead every day. I need to be better. And I'm going to make that a point. I'm going to go see him this week. Because I know you, girl, on Tuesday. I'll make sure it's not Tuesday. I know how that depression and stuff just gangs up on you at that point. And in his time of suffering, he needs to see God. And there's one way of doing that, and that's for the God people to make sure he sees God. So, I don't know, maybe that's why this message is today. Maybe that's why Les brought up Stan this morning, because Matt needed to hear it. But I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to get to see Stan this week and try to make a conscious effort to go see him. Because if I don't know if you've ever talked to Stan, but Stan is one neat dude. And Stan's experienced life. And I learn a lot from Stan every time I talk to him. So, we got to help each other through our struggles and our times of suffering. Okay, let's move on. 2 Peter, we're going to be 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's one verse. And when God lays one verse on you, you better pay attention. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for his sins. So the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And I butchered that, by the way. For Christ also suffered once for sins, not for his sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Guys, when we're in our suffering places, we need to remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus knows suffering. He knows, you know, and I'll relate it to the kids at school. Jesus knows about being ridiculed. Jesus knows being made fun of. Jesus knows not being in a popular crowd. Even though he had a following while he was preaching, when it came time for those people to stand up and tell the world who Jesus was, what'd they do? They said, no, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Jesus knows suffering, okay? Jesus knows that in our time of suffering, we can still be strong in our faith in Jesus Christ. Because in his time of suffering, he was still strong in his faith in us. Because I don't know about you, but when I am beaten down, when I am having the time that sometimes we have, those people that are putting me through that time are not on my mind other than I want revenge. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, he wasn't thinking about those guys that were saying, crucify him. Well, he was thinking about them, but he wasn't trying to get revenge on them. You know what his thought was? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And no matter what you're going through, I don't think it's as bad as crucifixion. I don't think it's as bad as being beaten. I don't think it's as bad as having a spear shoved in your side. That dude can handle it. So whatever sufferings you have, Jesus can handle it. One of my favorite books of the Bible, and I'm going to go to it now, Job chapter 23. I like Job because this is a dude that had it all. It's a dude that his crops were doing well, his family was doing well, he had some money, he had some people knew who he was. And then the devil said, hey, Jesus, let me test your servant. Jesus said, you know what? I'll let you test this my servant, but do not harm him or do not kill him. Man, Job went through it at that point. Job went through it. He lost family. He lost his crops. He lost his fields. He lost everything he had in possessions. Chapter 23. And I said it was verse 10. But I want you to understand where Job is. Job is going through a lot. His suffering. We're going to read the chapter 1 through or verse 1 through 10. Then Job answered and said, today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in greatness of his power? No. He would pay attention to me. So here's Job in his time of struggling saying, hey, guess what? I know God is still going to pay attention to me when I call out to him. There is an upright man there, an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. Verse 10 is the verse I wanted to get to. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. And we've all heard the message or the slogan that iron sharpens iron and, you know, gold is refined and all this stuff, right? But here's Job saying, you know what? When I come out of this, I will know that I am precious to him. And sometimes we get so caught up in our sufferings, and it would have been easy for Job. If you ever need a good, to feel good about your life, just read the book of Job. Go through that and see what this dude was going through. And then you're going to think, oh man, you know, I got it pretty easy. No matter what sufferings we go through, no matter what suffering Job went through, he knew that at the end of the day, God was going to hold him up like he was a precious gold. But the key to that is, when we're in our sufferings, we're not going to blame God. We're not going to curse God. We're going to ask God to pull us through them. We're going to rely on God to get us out of those sufferings. Because what happens? When I try to fix my sufferings, you know what happens? It turns into more sufferings. But when I let God have my sufferings, He teaches me through those sufferings. He teaches me, you know, we've heard it said before, don't pray for patience. Yeah, dude, I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get tested every single day. Every single minute. God's going to give you patience by putting you to the fire. Okay? When you pray for discipline, what happens? Same thing. God puts you in situations where you can either A, choose to stay as a disciplined Christian, or B, to go the way society wants you to go. And those two aren't always the same. Sometimes they are. Most times they're not. So when we choose discipline as a Christian, we're choosing what God went through, what Jesus went through on the cross. We're choosing to stay humble, to stay keep in mind the suffering has an end goal, and that's what? That's eternity in heaven. If you can go through all that suffering, and I've equated it to sports, I've equated it to, man, there's no way I'd run cross country, no way in the world. I still contend that there's no way in the world. And I'm living proof of that. Not going to happen. I don't like pain that much. You know another sport that I don't think I could ever do? Wrestling. And if we have wrestlers, I'm sorry. But I don't think I could endure that kind of pain and that kind of stamina and that kind of being twisted in knots. I couldn't do it. But those that can are very disciplined people. So, God's tool for growth, suffering. And the last passage I'm gonna go to is Psalm 66. And you know, again, you could spend years on the Psalms and not get through them all if you really studied them one by one. But Psalm 66, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12. And the title of 66 is "How Awesome Are Your Deeds," and this is all again written in a song form. David was very musically inclined, and so all these were meant to be sung, and I'm not going to sing them because you don't need to hear that. Nobody needs to hear that. But 10 through 12. Actually, I'm going to go to 8 through 12. Sorry, Julie. "Bless, O God, our peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip?" And I'm going to stop right there because verse 9 kind of hits it on the head. We understand that God is in charge, and He is the one that has not let us slip up. Okay? In our troubles, God is the one that does not let us slip up. It's not anything that Matt does. It's not anything that Les does. It's not anything that Dylan does. God is in charge. And then in verse 10, "For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet You have brought us out to a place of abundance." Listen, it doesn't just say you put us through all those tests and then you brought us out of it and said, okay, you're all right. You're good. It says you brought us out into a place of abundance. What is that place of abundance? What is it? Man, it's eternity in heaven. It's eternity with our Lord and Savior. It is not, you know, that does not mean we're going to have more money than we know what to do with. That does not mean we're going to have more cars than we know what to do with. Does not mean we're going to have a bigger house than we know what to do with. It means that when we get done with this life today, that God puts us through tests, if we remain faithful, He's going to put us in a place of abundance beside Him, where we will spend eternity. You know, and I'll equate this again to another sports analogy. When we're going through our highs and our lows, and we're down in the valley and we're going through it, right? That's kind of like our practice. Anybody like practice? No? Why? Because practices become laborsome. They become hard. They become tedious. Why? It's so that when we get to the games or the mountaintop, we don't have to think. We are prepared. We are ready for all of that, and we can just go play the game we like to play. But in order to do that, you have to go through the practices. You have to go through the valleys in our lives. We can't all just always be in game mode. And our Christianity is no different. You know, we can't always, without practice, be in Christian mode. We have to apply God's principles to our lives. And it's a job every single day. And maybe I'm the only one it's a job for, okay? But I'm telling you, if there's a day go by and I don't open up with God, you're in charge today, let me remember that, man, my day is just chaos. Because I start thinking it's me, 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 and it's not. God's in charge. You know, I talked to somebody the other day, yesterday, that I haven't talked to in probably 15 years. Maybe not that long, 10 years. And it was pretty neat. We had a conversation, and had a really nice conversation, actually. And it was Kevin King. I haven't seen him forever. I've seen him the last two Sundays, but I didn't recognize him the first Saturday I saw him. I was like, is that Kevin or isn't it Kevin? Well, yesterday I thought, is that Kevin or isn't it Kevin? And I approached him, and we had like a 25-minute conversation. It was a really nice conversation. But that's a God thing, because God knew that I needed to talk to him yesterday, and he put him in his place. And even when I was going through a trial, because Saturdays are a trial for me at work, I don't want to be there. My trucks are never on time. And I'll just share this. Last Saturday, I had two guys who were supposed to come from Marion to help me with the Kroger order in Mount Gilead, because it wasn't getting there until 11. And I had a Walmart order in Mount Vernon. So I worked the Walmart order in Mount Vernon, got back to Kroger in Mount Gilead at 2 o'clock. I started at 5. I was supposed to be done at 1. Got back to Mount Gilead at 2. The two guys that were coming from Marion punched in at Mount Gilead's store, were there 10 minutes, walked out. I had 7 pallets of Coke that didn't get unwrapped. That was a trial for me. Because it's Saturday, and what do I want to do? I want to be home with my wife. Well, home and then run all over with my wife probably is more like it. Saturday is usually a day we have no Harvey, no Beckett, no Morgan, so we go eat supper or whatever it is we do. Well, I end up getting work until about 6:15 that night, and when I got home, I vegged out, and I literally, I think I went to bed at 7 o'clock. So Saturdays are a trial for me, and it was important that I saw Kevin yesterday because at that time I needed to hear what Kevin had to say. And it was pretty cool. And God, that's a God thing. That's not a Matt thing. That's not a Kevin King is so great thing. That's just a God thing. But if you let him have, and you look to him during your time of suffering, and then you let him give you the tools you need to climb that mountaintop, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. I mean, I'm not a rock climber. I don't claim to be a rock climber. I can't imagine climbing a mountain. So that's why I need God's help to get me to the top of that mountain. And it's those valleys in our lives that give us everything we need to get to the top of that mountain. And the top of that mountain is not something here on earth. It's eternity with him. So as we go into Thanksgiving and we go into, you know, everybody's la-la and happy and we're so thankful for everything we've got, remember that we need to be thankful that God allows us to go through some pain, that God allows us to go through some suffering. And if you ever feel like you can't handle it and you feel like you're the only person going through it, I challenge you to go to the book of Job. And read that book of Job. I guarantee that's going to change your perspective on where you're at. Use those times of suffering as a time for growth. And God's going to bring you out on the other side in abundance. In abundance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear and Father, we just thank you for the story of how you're going to use us, Lord. And we thank you that even in our time of lowness in the valleys, we know that you're in charge and we know that you are in control and you're giving us the tools we need to be successful Christians, Lord. I just ask you to keep putting us in places that we can use those tools you give us through our sufferings out in the world, Lord, that we can show your love and your abundance of love that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to use this last song, and if there's a time of anyone needs prayer for anything, Lord, we know that you're in charge, and we know that you are ever perfect. Lord, I just lift up Stan again to you, Lord, and I just ask that you'll put people in his path and people in his corner that he knows are in his corner, and just use us as a church, Lord, to lighten his load, lighten his time of suffering. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.